Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. We are no longer fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Victory points us toward God's destiny for our lives and empowers us to disciple others along the way. Let's join Pastor Nathan as he concludes our series, Truth Wins, titled Destiny and Discipleship.
Well, today we're wrapping up our Truth Wins series. This is my fourth of the messages, and the staff has done three of them. Haven't they done a great job? Don't you appreciate all the diversity and the growth and things you're seeing? So that's what I'm going to do in these years, just pour out everything that the Lord pours into me. But I intend to keep on getting better. How about you? Isn't that great? That we may be 65, 35, but we're not done. God wants to continue to grow us and stretch us and make us more and more of who he wants us to be. So that's good. So we've talked in this series about the D's that God wants us to deal with. But I like the other words, and we'll end up with those so that we don't just focus on doubt, distortion, discouragement, distraction, division. We know those things are real, but we had the positive answer for each one of those, and we'll review those today. So I want to summarize in a way here. And I want to talk about, it's another D word, we're going to talk about the destiny that God has for you. And if we're in him, that's not about the sweet by and by, that's like here and now. Did you know you can be walking in his destiny right now? But there could be lane changes along the way. And our world is changing, but like I said last week, we have to make sure that our pivot foot is planted in hope, in truth and hope. And as we encounter the different things of this world, it's okay because we are grounded in the truth. We will not waver. We will not cave. And so I want you to know that it's not just this mystical thing, but you can walk in destiny. And I want to just give you three things that might look like, but there's far more than these, I'm sure. So what I contend is that when you say yes to Jesus, and Y2J, we use that all the time for coming into a saving relationship, going to the cross. How many of you know you never get over that? You don't go on living like you never met Jesus. When you meet him, you know him forever, and he just changes and rearranges your life. Is that true? You never get over it. And if you get over it, I got to question whether you ever met him, whether you ever really said yes. Right? So when we do, that rearranges our life. Because here's what we start doing. We start walking every day in victory. Isn't that encouraging? When you get up, and Nate hit it last night and I'll hit it again, the victory has been won. Do you know that? We don't just celebrate Easter once a year. I mean, we're celebrating every time that Jesus has won the war. And so that enables us to walk in victory. Now, here's my caution to you. But it's a good word, because even though the war has been won, how many of you know that the enemy will still attack you? So you need to be on guard against those attacks. Is that true? But when we're walking in victory, we can be prepared for those battles that come our way. It's like Satan knows, but it's like he hasn't gotten the word, and he's telling us that the war isn't over, but we're saying through faith by God's grace, it is over, and I'm going to walk in victory. And I've been thinking about this, and we know one of my best friends I've ever met, Andre Crouch. Have you ever heard about him? Billy Graham's another one, by the way. But I was listening to a song that called All the Way by Andre. It's a long time ago song. And he said of Satan, and we've talked about this, he's throwing rocks and hiding his hands, but I'm going all the way. We talked about that. Remember about the idols? Behind every idol, no matter who or what it is, Satan is lurking behind there. He's trying to spew thoughts. He's trying to get you to think his thoughts and then blame those thoughts on you. So if we know the war is won, if we've got the word in us, and that's why we've got to have the word in us, because we'll know the truth and that truth will set us free. We don't have to worry about all the cultural trends. We know when God's word is rooted in us. When that comes against in direct conflict with God's word, we're going to go with God's word every time, aren't we? If it's in us. I didn't ask how many Bibles do you have laying on the shelves, dusty shelves of your home. Is it in you? And so those of you that are struggling, I had some conversations this morning with about kids that are maybe drifting right now. And don't stop praying, because I want to just encourage you. And I know you've said it, but when we get the word in them, it's in them for good. I mean, good as in positive, but it's in them. They can't outrun God's word. They think they can, so they go running like Jonah, away, away, away. And when they get there, God's word comes up and out at just the right time, which they think is the wrong time. And many times we pray into that, and God surrounds them with people in a community, another place, and they reach a heart place that we could never reach, but our prayers are still making the difference. Go in those rooms, pray over the rooms where your kids used to be if they're grown. If they're sleeping now and don't like you to pray with them in person, do it while they're sleeping. Do it while they're sleeping. So walking in victory. So I've been thinking about this. If you're expecting an attack, can he really ambush you? You think about that. An ambush is a surprise attack that you weren't, you were just walking and all of a sudden something got. But if we're alert and vigilant, walking in victory, God's spirit is going to alert us about the thing. He's going to alert us about when the enemy's trying to lie to our kids and steal our kids and grand. Do you understand that? That's what he'll do. He'll give us God prompts in our hearts. That comes from victorious living, walking faithfully day after day. So the garden book gave us some great takeoff points for here, but I've read this, and I don't know where I've read it and heard it several times, but this, the key to living victorious, and I'm going to talk about that, is this, that we're no longer fighting for victory, we're living from a point of victory. Isn't that a big difference? It is. It's settled. It's been done. We've just got to access that, and we've got to lean in. You know, we don't have to fight for our lives again. We're fighting from the victorious one, his power, resurrection power within us. Okay. So there's just three things I want to say about living that way, because that's living in our destiny, not just when we draw our first breath in heaven, but here and now. So the first of all, our destiny is this. It's continuous victory. I'm not talking about human perfection. I'm not talking about the fact that we never mess up. How many of you like me have had God use a mess up in your life and turn it for good? Has that ever happened to you? You thought it was horrible. You thought a door was closed, but it wasn't locked. It was a swinging door, and that ushered you into a new place where God did more than ever before, and you were amazed truly at his wonder. Continuous victory is ours. And you know, victory is sweet, isn't it? I mean, who doesn't enjoy the fruits of victory? We know the Olympics are just starting, and you know, these athletes train so long, and probably, I can't imagine the euphoria and all that that comes when it all comes together, and they win a gold medal representing their country. And that, I mean, they just enjoy the fruits of that. But the interesting thing is, you know, it's not just that achievement, but it's what happens after that. But the fruits of victory that we enjoy in Jesus. So I just want to remind you again, the key to this is we've got the word of God in us, and we know the first and the last, and we know the end of the book, and we know that he really has won. He has won. And so we're going to live like it. But a lot of times we don't. We say all this, yeah, and service and that, but what matters if we're going to live that in the middle of whatever storm that Dr. Sundberg talked about when she was here last week. Are we going to live that when the wind's up and the waves are kicking high? We've got to live like it. We've got to live like it, because that's so powerful and attractive to the world. So I would say to you that in this whole series, we've been trying to get this point to you, that the enemy tries to get you to forget this important point. He wants you to get you to forget so that you won't remember in this day-to-day living. What does he do? He tries to get us to focus on our forgiven past. What in the world are you doing dwelling on your forgiven past, for goodness sake? My word says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. And if he tries to stick your nose in it, well, you know that's not the Holy Spirit. That's the evil spirit trying to get you to live below your privilege, because he doesn't want you walking in victory. Okay, you've been to the cross, that's enough. You can't walk in victory. You're going to walk in defeat. That's a lie. Do you recognize the enemy's lies? He's a liar. Focusing on a forgiven path. Focusing on mistakes. We beat ourselves up over that. Mistakes of the present as well, not just the past, the forgiven past. Or when we fall short of perfection. One of my pet peeves, words matter to me, and this isn't, you know, this isn't a huge revelation, but I can't stand the words that we overuse. And one of them is everything's perfect. Perfect, perfect. Come on, check yourself and check how many times you hear perfect today. There is no perfect in this world except Almighty God. Words matter. When we talk perfect, let's talk about Him. We're not. We never will be. We haven't been. That's not an excuse for careless living. We're just saying, I've got God's perfect love. When I say yes to Jesus and yes, Y2J, and then Y to the Holy Spirit, Y2HS, His perfect love comes in me. And ours is, holiness isn't about legalism. It is a theology of love. God's love. That's the difference maker in our life. That's the difference maker wherever we go. God's love pouring through us. We're not going to change anything through our worry and through our effort and forcing people through this or that. But His love flowing through us is transformational. Has it changed your life? Then pass it on. Share it. So don't get your nose and all those things that were, because He has provided the victory for us to walk in. It's so appropriate that we sang last night, the enemy has been defeated. Do you know that's true? The enemy has been defeated. We're going to lift our voice in victory. I loved it when we sang it together last night. So we've been saying in this series, remind you that the war began in the garden, but it was completed and won on Easter weekend on the cross and out of the tomb, because both are now empty. And what we lost in the garden has now been regained. Because Jesus won, we didn't earn it, but victory is now ours through His grace and mercy. And don't be groveling around when you receive grace and mercy, because there's nothing you can do to earn or deserve it. I mean, if you could, it wouldn't be grace and mercy. What did it say? I don't know if in this book or another, but it said it's about the word grace, an acronym. Have you heard this before? God's riches at Christ's expense. Isn't that the truth? So everything that we enjoy in our life, it's not because we're so great. I was reading about Hezekiah this morning, as I mentioned in my devotions, and it's like he thought he deserved more years and all this because he's been a good king. I'm telling you, no matter how good we've been, everything God gives us, we don't deserve and can't earn. It's all grace, and it was all paid for at the cross of Christ. And that's where we must go, and we must open our arms and our hearts and receive it. So out of that victory then, we walk in humble God confidence, if you will. And you know what that means? That means I'm confident because I am God dependent. I am absolutely dependent upon Him, like Hezekiah. When the storms arise, I'm going to lay it out before Him and say, Lord, I just admit, I don't know what to do. Help, I need your help. Somebody talked about that in this series. Humble God confidence with an utter God dependency. He's God, we're not. We're created in His image, but He has plans for us, and He's provided for a way for us to walk in consistency and walk in victory. You don't have to wonder whether you're in or out, up or down. You're in through the cross of Christ when you've embraced Him. Are you walking in it? Is that victory you're walking in contagious to others? No matter what the storms may come and go, no matter what storms may come and go, victory is ours. So it's Satan that will try to bring up all these D words we've been talking about, the doubt, distortion, discouragement, distraction, division. He'll do all those. So just know that is from the enemy. And yeah, who said last week, Joel, he was mad. Let's not fall for it. Let's get indignant when he goes after our kids or tries to disrupt the unity of our church. We don't have to stand for that. That's not God's spirit. That's the spirit of the Antichrist trying to bring us down. And we go, no way. We are not going there. Our hearts are tuned to Him. So we face the battles. We walk in spiritual victory. And we know it is because Jesus said, and He meant it. He said, it's finished. It's done. The war is won. So I want to say again, I about two or three times in this message, I know Satan is still lobbing the grenades and he's into guerrilla warfare, but the victory is still won. He just hasn't gotten the memo. All right? Know that. Okay. So one thing I do, you're going to think this is kind of sad, but being an athlete that I used to be, but this is in my old age. So I almost never watch an Indians game live. But if they win, I'll watch it. I mean, I can watch it in like about 40 minutes and speed through the things I don't like. And would you believe it? I must be getting a little wobbly. Because sometimes my emotions start. I mean, I already know who won, but in the middle of the game, I can't believe what they did. Like, I'm thinking that the mistake they made is going to cause them a loss, and I already know that they won. Do you see the parallel I'm looking for? It's like, we know it. We've seen it all before, and he's victor. So why do we get so despairing, so nervous, so full of fear when we know that he's won? Let's live like it. Because in the middle of storms, that's where the greatest testimonies come from. It's not that God is good, good, good when you're going through it and everything's fine for me. But when I go through storms and when you go storms, we can hold hands and sing, God's good all the time. He's never failed me yet. He's faithful. That's the power of our testimony. That's what the world needs to see as reality. It doesn't mean that our lives are hunky-dory, that we never have struggles. It doesn't mean that our kids never make some wrong choices. But we've got God's perfect love, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit deposited within us, and we can live out of that overflow, and we'll never use it up. And it's strong enough to enable us to stand strong in school, at work, in the neighborhood, wherever we may be. But it requires our saying yes. Not just a one time, but at all the time. Victorious living continuously means yes, 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 yes. We've had some songs in the past that we've sung about yes, haven't we? I'll say yes, Lord, yes. You never stop saying yes until you draw your first breath in heaven. And I'm not so sure we'll stop then. Yes, you were right. Yes, 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 yes. I love that positive approach, don't you? God wants you to walk in continuous victory. And that can only happen, have I shared this lately, when our identity is found in God alone. What do we say? What do we live? What's first, foremost? I am. I am. We can say that boldly. We can say it defiantly. I am a child of God, and that defines everything else that I am. God first. That's what that commandment means. No other gods, only me. I am a child of God. Therefore, that determines my worldview. That determines how I'm going to look at the culture that's caving. No, I am a child of God, and I want to reflect him in my life in all things. That's the secret. I guess I would say the secret to living continuous victory is that constant yes, that consistent yes, that living in a place, in a point of surrender. Where are you now? Where are you finding your identity? I was pulling up that song on my Spotify list. Victory belongs to Jesus. And where is he? Living on the inside. That means we're walking with him. We're walking in victory. Could I just lay a few scriptures on you? 2 Corinthians 5:17. What I've been saying, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Any new persons in this room today, made new. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Isn't that encouraging? We don't believe in destinationalism. We don't arrive. We may have punched our ticket to heaven, but I'm telling you, a new life has begun. That means it's going to keep on getting better. It is. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock. Okay, that's praise. My fortress and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield and power that saves me and my place of safety. Yeah. Oh my, in a storm we can say, oh God, I praise you because the word says, you are my place of safety. I'm going to run to you. And that's why you're walking in continuous victory. Jeremiah 17:7. But blessed are those who trust the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. That would be a Y2J moment. They are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That's the promise of God. We claim, we declare God's truth in our lives and his promises over our lives, over our loved ones' lives, and we walk in that continuous victory that he has made available. What a shame when it's been provided, but we don't walk in it. So beneath our privilege, Isaiah 12:2, see, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. That doesn't mean you're never going to be afraid. The storm's raging, but it means you're not going to live in fear because the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me the victory. I love music of all kinds, and I can get inspired by it. But man, when we're singing songs about God and His strength and who He is, I am so encouraged and revived. How about you? Bring it in. Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name, and I circled that word. That means we know you, God, your name, your nature, who you are. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. Do we ever quit seeking Him in this life? Absolutely not. Is anybody like me? The older you get, the more you know you need Him. The more you can't even think how people could even ever navigate life without Him. Oh, I want to walk in continuous victory. That's not perfection. The second thing is, that's one of God's destiny that begins now. Walk in continuous victory. The second thing is this, that we can walk continually and be God's delight. And I'll just say that we know that in that, God wants the very best for you. But I want to tell you that you and I don't know how that best is going to be packaged. How many of you know that God likes surprise packages? I mean, there will be things showing up and you don't see how in the world God could ever use it. But He's working all things for good and for His glory to conform us to the image of Christ, many times by the surprises of life, because we can never glory it. We can't take credit for it. We have to just point to Him and praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's where we live. That's an outflow of living in continuous victory. We know that God's blessing is on our life and He wants the very best for us. We don't define our lives by cultural standards, as maybe someone sang last night. Maybe it was Steph. She sang a little bit of that. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, because I know God wants the best for me. All other ground is sinking sand, but I'm going to stand solid on Him. Will not waver. My identity, my reliance, my trust is found in God alone. God alone, as I walk from victory to victory, yeah, experiencing that hope in the future and a future that God has promised. You're not here by accident today. He's called you by name. He knows you from the inside out. You're loved, and He has a plan for your life. And God wants that destiny not to be the negative deeds, but He said, man, have I got plans for you. Let Him stretch you. Let Him take you where you've never been before. Are you experiencing God's best? What's that look like? That doesn't mean that you've gotten to your final destination or what you think you want eventually, but that's about walking in it right here and now. Some people never get there because they never get beyond here. You're never going to do it there if you're not willing to do it here. If you're not willing to walk in victory here, you won't be walking it out there. You know, when this happens or that happens, no. It's a decision. It's a now decision that we make, and we choose to live in, and we choose to walk out. When I think of this and the warning I gave you that the enemy doesn't give up even though he knows he's been defeated, it's a great writing. It's that conflict between good and evil. And the Bible tells us very clearly, and I'll have the scripture for you, but in 12:21 of Romans, it says, we overcome evil with what? Good. Overcome evil with good. God gives us that life, that inner life that allows us to face challenges and conflicts and the wind and the waves along the way as we choose to walk in His destiny, experiencing and believing Him for the very best because He knows us and loves us every single day. Oh, don't settle for less than the life that God created you to have. Don't ever settle. You're a child of God if you've been to the cross. And that's true all the time. It never wavers and never changes. It's true in every life circumstance, including the one you're in now. And that, again, gives perspective to all of life. I've quoted recently Chris Tomlin's song. I think he wrote it. At least he sang it. But he said, I have resurrection power living on the inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom, no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Does that sound like walking in victory to you? It does to me. Could I give you a few scriptures from different pens and hearts, like Joseph, the story of Joseph in 50:20 of Genesis, when he said, you have intended me to harm me. He spoke to his brothers, but God intended it all for good. He brought me into this position so I could save the lives of many people. I don't know what song he was singing when he was in the pit and when he was in jail, but it could be, you know better than I. We've sung that before. How about this in Psalm 21:11? Although they plot against you, their evil schemes will never succeed. That's probably from the heart and pen of David. Although they do plot against you, their schemes will never succeed. How about Romans 8:28? Hey, know this one. And it's 29 too, but I'll read 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Don't take that out of context. Don't think it's going to mean no storms in your life. It's just that you're going to be faithful and walk in victory in the middle of them. How about Ephesians 2:10? For we are God's masterpiece. I love that. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. How do you know that the sweet spot is doing the good things that God planned for us long ago? That's where the sweet spot is. And that doesn't start again in the sweet by and by. That's a here and now thing. You walk in it. God, I believe that where I am, I'm all in. I want to be all where I am. And when I get there, I'll be all where I am there. But I'm here now, and I want to make a difference. Don't you? God's love in me and through me. I love that passage. God's masterpiece. Some of you need to tape that on your mirror or write it in the smog on your mirror, the fog in your mirror in the morning. I am a child of God. I am God's masterpiece. Believe that, grasp that. Proverbs 16:19, probably from the heart and pen of Solomon. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Is that okay with you? Is that okay with you if the Lord determines your steps? I mean, I'm depending on you for my next step, God. I think the direction I'm going is good. I think, but I just want you to know today, my life is surrendered to you. I'm all yours, and I'm giving you this step. And I don't know how it's going to look, but I want to bring you glory. I want to stay focused on you. Walking in victory, experiencing God's best, even in the storms. Is there anybody in the room experiencing God's best? That doesn't mean there isn't more to come. The best may be yet to come, but it's really good right now where I am. And God wants you to embrace that. And finally, what that looks like if we're experiencing walking in his destiny, that means we're going to be developing others. That means that we're going to be pouring in, that we're going to do our best to disciple others, which is another word for influencing people towards Jesus. Lee Strobel gave a powerful talk about that a couple Wednesdays ago when he was here, about that call in our lives to share the gospel with others. He calls us to spread his love and goodness. And I don't know about you, but man, when I hear something and I read it, I just can't wait till I have an opportunity to share that with somebody that I love. I don't want to keep it to myself. Do you want to keep good things and good news to yourself? I want to share it because I think it can help them. You ought to listen to this. You ought to read that book. Listen to what I go to staff meeting and I'm all fired up, and what's supposed to last an hour lasts an hour and a half because I go on this rant because I can't wait to share it. If Jesus is all that, if he's called us to walk in victory in our destiny, why in the world wouldn't we share that every chance we get and every place we go? I don't want anybody to miss out on that I loved you. I don't want anybody to miss out on eternity beginning right now when they come in a relationship with Jesus and say yes. He never intends us to be silent in our victory over the enemy. It's not about us. He calls us to spread the word, to spread his love and forgiveness. And it's not just by our words, but by our lifestyle, by the way we live. It's not just what we do on this platform, but it's when we get off of it that really matters. It's what we do off of this stage platform that matters when we get up here. And it needs to align. It must align. Could I remind you of this challenge to teach? The discipleship means to teach, to be about the Father's business, to hear it, to learn it, to teach it. Matthew 5:14 reminds us of these words. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I want that to be said of me. Do you want that to be said of you? The opportunities we have are staggering just in the normal everyday life to reflect him. Are you all in? There are people in your life today that need to have your influence. They need to see you point and praise. They need to see and hear the good news that you've experienced, that you've learned. Are you willing to share it? They need to know that they too can come to Jesus and say yes, that they can surrender and say Y2HS, yes to the Holy Spirit. We can't sit back and wait for someone else. God is calling you. And when I was experiencing my own call, after I thought I'd be a youth pastor forever and do all these other things, and a passage that God dealt with my heart, and you can look it up, but Romans 10:10, that basically said, how in the world are they going to know, I'm paraphrasing, if nobody tells them? And I just sense God gripping my heart, and I want to spend the rest of my days, and sometimes from the front porch of my house, declaring the good news. You can say yes to Jesus and have your life transformed. Amen? We need to get back to our prayer list and praying for our friends and neighbors, and don't give up and say, God, just give me an opportunity. You ever look at somebody and go, oh, I don't know if they'd ever be interested in Jesus, but man, tag them with a prayer list and just start praying for them, and you'll be amazed at the opportunities that God starts giving you to speak into their lives, because they're already watching you. I love living in our neighborhood because their eyes are always on me. And how many of you know I need that? We need that. We need that accountability, don't we, in a small community? I want them to see us living. I want them to know that we don't live differently at our address than we live on Sundays or up here. It's the real deal. God is good. Would you just make a commitment to that again? God, show your love through me. I want the best. I want to walk in continual victory. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore, this hasn't been rescinded. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's still our call. So good news today. We're not fighting for victory. We're living it. We're walking in what Jesus has provided for us. Does your life look like you're walking in victory? Is your life contagious? Or are you so caught up in everything else but that people would never have a clue that that's first in your life, that your first identity point is, I am a child of God. God, break our hearts for that. So the gist of this series wasn't the D words, but it's like trust and truth and encouragement and focus and unity. That's what God's Spirit wants to bring in and through our lives. Don't fall back in your own ways. Walk in that continuous victory that He has promised. Do the 1 Timothy 4:18 from the NASB. I didn't have that verse for you, but it says, along the way, this victorious living cycle, you know what? We have to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Are you with me on that? Remember, that means where our want to rules our feel like it. So this week, I know some of you still don't get that. I know that I want to exercise 3 times a week, but there are many times I don't feel like exercising, but I still go because I made the decision that I want to, so that trumps my feel like it. Don't just look at me. Are you with me? Do you ever experience those things? Some of you may not feel like going to work in the morning, but you want to go, so you do it anyway. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Wow, that's contagious. I leave you with this scripture, 1 Peter 1:14. So you must, okay, we know we have free choice, but as those who have said yes to Jesus, we must live as obedient, God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. I read, but you do now. That's not in there. Next verse. But now, you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy, for I am holy. Open your heart and say, God, reveal your plans and purposes to me. I want to live all in, all out for you. If you're here today in the room within the sound of my voice, it all begins by a trip to the cross and saying yes to Jesus. I agree with all you've done for me through Christ. I confess, I repent, I admit it, I turn from my sin, I turn to you. That's when you really begin to live. You go in a new direction, but then it doesn't stop there because the Holy Spirit says, I don't just want your sin, I want yourself, and I want you to say yes to the Holy Spirit. I want it. The Holy Spirit comes in at time of conversion, but there's a point in time where we say yes to Him, and that is the most exciting adventure that you'll ever go on. Just that life of yes. Yes, I'll say yes. I'm your pastor, albeit if you're in this room or online today, and I love you, and I care about you, and I'm going to do my best to bring the truth as I see it and understand it from God's Word, because I see people caving right and left. We're not going to cave to culture. We're going to proclaim the Word of God and the truth that is unalterable. You don't revise God's Word. His truth stands, and it transforms lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you so much for a time to share together. This is a great weekend, and we're glad we have not yet another service to celebrate today. I thank you for these precious people in the sound of my voice, and oh, how I want us to achieve all that you have for us. I want us to walk in that victory. I want us to have continuous victory. I want us to know your delight over our lives, that it's not about being perfect or earning our own way, but it's about what you've provided and just receiving your grace and your mercy and living like it. And then burden our hearts in a new way to know the part of walking toward our destiny is taking other people with us. We don't want to take the trip alone. We don't want peace and security just in our lifetime. We want others to know the truth that sets them free. May we be people with the word in us, and may that be our foundation that never rocks by the wind and the waves and stands firm. So we just celebrate you, and we thank you for the life that you've made possible through the Holy Spirit, resurrection power. We want to walk in that. We want our lives to be difference makers. We want our lives to be contagious everywhere we go. And we thank you for the optimism of your grace right here, right now. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said,